in reference to Mr. Lau's very important announcement, when the children go to children's church, these front doors are locked. That's what we do when we bring them over from the sanctuary. And remember that when Sunday school is over, and by the time service starts, we lock those doors to the fellowship hall, and the nursery door is always locked. Those are just things we have to do in this town in which we live in. So if you do come, and you do come late, the door's locked, we will let you in. We might just need to knock a little harder, but we are certainly glad that you are here this morning. That is for sure. You know, there's this verse in the Bible, and it talks about how everything we do, that we do for the Lord, we should do it with joy, right? And a smile on our face. Well, I had a very long day yesterday, and so I have these reflective moments as I talk. Now, and I do pray, but I had this reflective moment last night when I finally got home after 10:30, and I realized that for the second year in a row, at the community band Christmas concert, that people really enjoy the hot chocolate with cookies. And I don't know, maybe next year, Marsha, we might need to put a limit, because for the second year in a row, someone comes into the kitchen and says to the pastor, and it's interesting, well, we have janitors here, and we have secretaries here. Yes, I'm in charge of the choir. But I have learned in my ministry that regardless of what it is, I mean, I'm getting ready to go out in the pulpit over there sometimes. Someone comes and says, hey, the toilet in the women's restroom doesn't work. Okay, thank you. I wouldn't be able to fix that anyway, but I'll make sure someone knows. So people let the pastor know, which is very important. So I'm in the kitchen, and one of the kids comes out and says, Pastor Kevin, someone threw up in the hallway. I said, okay. So, wow. Wow. Much more intense than last year. And so my good friend Pam did exactly what she did last year to help me. Nothing. Because she was in the kitchen and she came out and she realized it was intense. But I was, no, I apologize. She directed traffic, and it's interesting. When you put codes up and you tell people to go in the wrong direction or a different direction, it's just not middle school kids that don't listen. And it's telling me, it's amazing to me. And so Pam was holding her nose and trying not to have the directing traffic. And my good friend, Jeremy, was informed of what was happening in the hallway, and he said, I can't let the pastor do this. And I'm telling you what, it was intense. We thought, you know, okay, we'll take care of that. And Stacy came to help, so thank you guys for cleaning that up. And if people are coming by and making comments, and my comments are all for the joy of the Lord, right? And just you gotta do what you gotta do. It was all cleaned up, and people kept coming. You know, it's wet. And I mean, if someone falls here, it's going to be their own fault, because there's 14 codes there and 17 people saying, go in the opposite direction. So if you fall on that, we love Jesus and all, but I love failure, right? But when I got home, I thought, you know, for some reason, I get up in the morning, pick out everything what we do today, and we'll do it. And for some reason. So I'm just going to be ready for next year, okay? We're going to be ready for next year. It's probably going to happen. I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed the hot chocolate. I'm glad we got it taken care of. But think about it. Sometimes there are things that we're called to do or asked to do. Kind of complain about it, murmur about it. But it's just one of those things. You just do it. I mean, as a pastor, you just make sure things are taken care of. And I'm just really thankful that there are lots of people here that help make sure things are taken care of. Because all these things that we do, everything we do, is a team effort. And on your bulletin, it says engaging in ministry together. That's what we're going to do. Engaging, doing ministry together, what God's called us to do. So, thank you to my friends. And you know, it's always fun. No one ever owns up to that. I don't know if I would either. And just grip all over your hallway and all over the bathroom and all over the stall. I probably would tell people that either just get out of here. So, next year, we're going to have a disclaimer. If you feel sick or if you feel like you had too much, please find the closest exit door to get to the yard, right? So God is good, and God will take care of us. And you know, I know it's just funny because I told Bethany that, and maybe it's a gift of mine. I don't know. I didn't even smell it, really. I just stopped it up and put the gloves on. You guys did it pretty interesting. And I remember, man, I've had lots of kids do that in school and in the youth group, and I'll never forget the time that happened when we were at Bob Evans and Grant got sick all over my suit, and everybody got all crazy because Lucille Willis was out, happened to be at Bob Evans to save her. But see, things happen, and things happen, right? But what's important to me, and what's important to the world, and certainly what's important to God, is how we react to those things that happen. Where we get all frantic about it, and got upset and angry, now who did this? But we could take care of it with a smile on our face and joy in our heart. And I believe that says a lot to the people that are around us. Probably said a lot to the people that were walking in and out of the building last night. That's what we're supposed to do. This kingdom work, we call it. You have opportunities to do that every day. To be joyful, loving, and kind in all that you're doing in your work, whatever it might be. And so last week, you know, we were talking about these expectations that we have. And this whole idea of Advent is expecting the coming of the King, right? And we right now, today, you know that's already happened. We're expecting Jesus to come again, right? And so this is expectation, it's this hope that we have. And the things that we sometimes expect don't really come out or turn out or happen the way we do, but how do you react to that? Are you still happy? Are you still joyful? Because if you're praying every morning like I do, that God's will be done, you put me where you want me to be, help me to go where I need to go and be who I need to be and do what I'm supposed to do, then there really shouldn't be disappointment, right? Because you ask God to be in control. And so we talk about this hope and this peace that we have in this Christ that brings light into the world. And this morning, we're going to look in Isaiah. And this question that I have for you, you know, we talk about Christmas and what we're doing to get ready. And last week, these expectations that we might have of Christmas. You know, expecting to be in the sanctuary by Christmas. And if that doesn't happen, it's okay, because we're still right there. And we can have Christmas wherever. They sure did in Jesus' time. We can have it wherever. So don't let these expectations, as I said last week, kind of rule us and overcome us and kind of wear us out when they're not met. And so this Advent season that we call the time preparing and leading up to Christmas, are you planning for it? Or are you preparing for it? And I read this really neat devotional this week about this whole idea of preparing for planning for Advent. And something, those are the same words. They might be the same or have a similar meaning if you were to look those up on Wikipedia or certainly in a dictionary. But they really aren't the same thing, really. Think about when you plan something, you have control of it, right? You're planning a detail, you're planning a Christmas dinner or Christmas Eve. You know, you have control of that. Who's going to bring the food? We're going to meet about that. Who's going to decorate? When you're planning something, you're planning for it. You're coming up with the details, putting things in order, getting people where they need to go. That's really, you know, that's a plan. You have a really strong idea of what's going to happen or what you expect to happen, right? Or what should happen. That's a plan. But preparing's a little bit different, isn't it? Because when you are preparing something, you're ready. And you know what you think might happen. But we understand that something else might be the better one. Something else might be happening instead. So when we plan these things, that's again why I've always said use your pencil and not a pen. But God has a plan for you. He's preparing us right now to be with Him, I believe. I mean, He's preparing a place for us. We've got to be prepared to get there, right? So when you're planning for something, a Christmas party, you know, the decorations, thank you again, Donna, the tree looks perfect. We made all these plans for everything we had this weekend. Some things happen unexpected, but it happened every year. So maybe just prepare for that for next year, right? So if you're planning something, you have control of it. But if you're preparing, you're like, okay, well, I'm getting ready. And I'm going to be ready. But I'm prepared for anything to happen if my plans don't go the way they should. And that's what I want us to think about during this Advent season. Things you're expecting, things you're preparing for, if they don't go the way you expected, or prepared for. You say, God, I expect your will to be done. But I'm preparing for what you want to happen today. There should be no disappointments. Okay. Well, how can that happen? Preparing for Jesus means what? Getting ready for whatever he has for us. Getting ready for the coming of Jesus means I'm just ready for whatever he has for me to do, whatever he has for me. I'm getting ready for that. I'm getting prepared for that. I can't really plan that because we don't know when it's coming back. You know? These things that we hope for and plan for, I mean, and again, as our weeks unfold, man, I wasn't planning for that. I planned for that. But I was prepared for it because I prayed, God, whatever happens this week, I'm going to be ready. And Isaiah chapter 9, which would be the Old Testament, and these things are being prophesied and told what were going to be happening. People really had time to be prepared. I mean, back then, how could you plan? We have all these things to help us plan, right? Technology, other people, stores, more plans, something. But here in Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at the first 7 verses. And I want you to think about, are you planning or preparing during this Advent? Are you planning or are you preparing? And in Isaiah chapter 9, it starts out, it says this word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom, right? We're all preparing for that, right? No more hurting, no more pain, no more bad attitudes, right? And we think when people go on to be with Jesus, they're in that place that they were preparing for or planned to be, where there's no more gloom. And it says, in the past, he humbled these lands, and in the future, he will honor Galilee, right? So this is all trying to prepare the people for this Messiah who's going to come and save the world. Is that what we're preparing for now? The people, it says in verse 2, the people walking in darkness has seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light dawn. This light of the world that Christ represents, the light of the world. In my time at the middle school in the library, I've been trying to teach you 6th, 7th, and 8th graders to be informed people. Know what's happening around you. When people say something you don't know, go find out the answers to that. And on Friday, we talked about, you know, December 7th is what? Pearl Harbor, right? And think about, were they prepared for that? Well, I went to see that movie, right? And they were on the deck preparing for what? Worship. And in, you know, gosh, in Hawaii, it's Hawaii. I mean, come on. If you're in Hawaii or anywhere near there, I mean, you're just, you know, it's beautiful there. And think about on that day when we got attacked, people weren't really prepared for that. It just happened. This whole thing that we read called the Bible tells us that we should what? Be ready and prepared. Because we don't know the time that he's coming. And so, in Isaiah, it's prophesying this light of the world, okay? This, we're walking in darkness, but there's this great light, right? And it's talking about you've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. Wow, joy. I see a lot of Christians or people that claim to love Jesus that just, I can't really see any joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Thought about that too. Are we joyful when we help out people, when we're in excess and we have plenty and we share that with other people, and people come to the church and we're able to help them, and that brings joy to us. So this whole idea of Jesus coming to be a light to the world, right? The darkness, people are walking in the darkness, there's going to be this great light. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. And then we go on here, it says, and as we're reading this, again, are we planning or are we preparing? In verse 3, you enlarge the nation and increase their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For as the day of Midian's defeat, in verse 4, it says, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. We're talking about the Old Testament here, and people are depressed and oppressed and not listening to God, right? And they're being told through these prophets and through these prophecies that get ready, get prepared, because victory is coming, joy is coming, a light to the world, right? Every warrior's boot, it says, it goes on here, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, for as it will be fuel for the fire. And then verse 6, for to us a child is born. So all these things are happening right now, but get ready, get prepared for what's coming, right? Get prepared, get ready for what's coming. For to us a child is born. Well, you've heard this, right? To us a son is given. The Christian story hasn't changed. Our cantatas and our skits change everything, but every year, but it's still the same message. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Everything will be on his shoulders. That's a bunch of that voice, Pastor. Right? Last time I was thinking and praying, everything falls on the pastor. But hey, I'm prepared for that. When I say, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I know God is what you want me to do. You'll help me to do it. And so you just got to have that attitude, that mindset that I'm ready. Jesus is going to have not just the government, the whole world on his shoulders. Because he's coming to save everybody. And they're going to call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And people at that time needed that. Whether they were listening or knew that they needed it. Wow. It's out of control. We need a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. And this other devotion that goes through all these different names that we call Jesus, Wonderful, all of them, and meanings behind them. You know, we have different names and nicknames that we call people that sometimes stay with us forever, right? But this is what Jesus is going to be called, this Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he's going to be in charge. Everything's going to be on him. You see, God is with him, just as God is with us, and through the Holy Spirit. We've got to be ready and prepared, and we can handle this. And on the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. He's talking about this Prince of Peace, this Wonderful Counselor, right? This Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God is coming. This is what's going to be the greatness of the government of peace, establishing a podium of justice. There's going to be justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God's going to accomplish it through who? Through Jesus. God's going to accomplish our kingdom work now through who? Through you, right? His will be done right here. His kingdom come as it should be done here on earth as it is in heaven, right? Wow. There'll be no end. This will last forever. This joy is right. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. All of this. And as you read on Isaiah, again, people aren't prepared. People aren't listening. People don't get ready. People don't believe it. You know, it's just interesting, too, when we hear about these warnings that come. We have this technology today that says there might be a flood. There might be a volcano erupting. There might be a hurricane coming. You should move. You should leave. And people don't believe it. It's like we think about our health. We say, God will heal me. God will take care of me. Yes, he will. I believe he will. That's his will. But at the same time, you should probably go to the doctor. Right? Because the doctors, I remember Dr. Clay saying that one time. That doctors were a blessing from God. I remember saying that one time. And you should come to them. Right? And all this medicine and these things. I mean, Wally last week probably had a sciatic nerve. I saw him at Jimmy's about that. He was a little. And then they're like, he just had, you know, back surgery. And was he prepared for that? No. Not necessarily. Came through that and people were praying and it was all okay. So, wow. All this is happening. Here's in Isaiah 9. Here's what's happening now, but here's what's going to happen. Let's get ready get prepared for it because this wonderful counselor is coming.
Wow.
This Prince of Peace, this mighty God, this everlasting Father. And so as we look at this scripture, being told about what's happening, we'll come back to that question. What are we doing? Are we getting prepared for what God has in store for us? Or are we just planning for the next couple weeks? Are we planning for Christmas, or are we preparing for Christmas? Are you planning for this week? Are you preparing for what God might have you to do this week? The opportunities that He already has set out for you. The appointments that are already made for you. Being ready for what God might have in store for us. Being ready for when Christ returns. I mean, we read that, and we say we believe it. Are we ready and prepared? Because again, anything can happen. You know that, I know that. It happens in your own life, happens in your family, you see it on the news, and throughout social media. Wow. Mm. People, and these awesome things happen. Well, we act like we're surprised. I'm not surprised, because we serve an awesome God who says, be ready and be prepared for what I have in store for you. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And he will have the government and the whole world on his shoulders. They will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've got to be ready. Father, we thank you this morning. And everyone in here has a plan for something. I certainly do too. We have plans for our children, plans for our church, plans for the children using our church, plans for the world, plans for the government, plans for the president. We've got plans for everybody and everything. This is how we are. We're humans. We have plans for Christmas. And God, as we prepare for Christmas, I pray that we'll, yes, have those parties and gift exchanges and celebrations and skits and cantatas. But in our hearts, we're preparing for the real gift. We know that your Holy Spirit guides us, leads us, and directs us. But during this Advent season, as we're preparing, God, help us to share that with others. That they might, too, hear about this Prince of Peace that was born. He suffered and died. He rose again. He's coming again. Because we're to that point where people are oppressed and depressed and out of control and turning to all kinds of avenues to find hope and peace that we find through Jesus, our Savior. God, help us to be ready. Prepare us for what you have us to do. But we've got to have a willing heart to do that. God, this morning I pray for us. Anyone here that's never given their heart to you, surrendered their life to you, or has any kind of decision to make, be baptized, join the church, or lead a ministry, or be a part of a ministry, to continue or do their kingdom work, or whatever it is, before we leave here today, we get things right with you. God, we love you and thank you. God, we surrender to you now. Have your own way today and every day. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.